The good ship Alibaba gets launched on the New York Stock Exchange today, but will it float? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The massive Chinese online commerce operation Alibaba will be trading on the New York Stock Exchange today using a ticker symbol that any baby can pronounce, Baba. Shares are starting at $68, the top of the company's range, but while many investors are eagerly diving in, others are advising caution, Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson reports.
Certain kinds of companies get investors very excited. China and tech are top of that list, and Alibaba ticks both those boxes. So investors are salivating, says Stephen Davidoff Solomon, a professor at UC Berkeley School of Law. But he's got a couple of concerns. First, the deal is structured so investors are actually buying into a Cayman Islands company that will receive profits from Alibaba.
Let's say that Alibaba China decides just not to pay on those profits. Shareholders would have to sue a Cayman Islands company, gain control of it, and have that Cayman Islands company sue in China. And good luck with that.
Second, a small group of investors will retain control of the company and appoint directors, even though they'll own a small percentage of its shares. But Matt Turlip, an analyst with Privco, has done his own valuation and thinks the price is worth these risks.
It is a giant profitable company right now that's growing like a startup still at 52% year-over-year revenue growth last year.
So for Turlip, that makes it a buy. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
As we've been hearing, the Scots have voted to stay with the United Kingdom, 55% to 45%. Here are some voices this morning from the Scottish town of Dumfries.
I'm happy, but I know a lot of people are gutted about it. I just think that it's time that the people down in Westminster do actually put their money where their mouth is.
It's a relief. I think it's a good result. I think it's the right result. I also think it's fantastic that the number of people that have voted, it's been a good turnout, as I understand it, which is good. It shows Scotland, whatever way you view the result, we're not complacent. As a nation, it's quite proud of ourselves, really, for that. It's good.
I think it was a fair result. They had their chance to vote. They voted. And at the end of the day, we'll have to move on from here and carry on regardless.
Pretty depressed about the whole thing. I think they're going to go back to London and it's all going to be fine and they're not going to do anything at all to help us.
She's depressed because she said they'll go back to London and not do anything at all to help us. London promised if this was the outcome, more resources and power would head Scotland's way. In a surprise today, British Prime Minister Cameron also promised to transfer more powers to Wales and Northern Ireland as well. If you miss our discussion of this on the air, it's at marketplace.org. Now time for the Marketplace Inflation Calculator. As Marketplace celebrates its 25th birthday this year, we're looking at the surprising, sometimes delightful, and sometimes destructive ways that prices have changed during that quarter century. Last week, we heard a classical definition of inflation from the Harvard prof who literally wrote the textbook definition. But price changes have many causes and can affect people with varying incomes quite differently. Dean Baker is co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research in Washington. Morning, Dr. Baker.
Thanks for having me on.
We're looking at inflation from a variety of angles this fall, and I don't know, you may think this has a kind of retro Ford and Carter administration feel to it when inflation was roaring away. But I think there's also, for instance, a wealth and poverty angle here. I wanted to start with that. If one is living at the margins and the price of something essential goes up, it doesn't do a family any good to hear that the government says there's no inflation.
You know, everyone has their own particular consumption pattern, and obviously what people care about is what's happening to the basket of goods and services that they're consuming and in many cases absolutely need to consume. So people need to pay for their health care. It's not an option. Oh, the price of the medicine went up. I'll buy less of it and instead buy more apples or whatever. It doesn't help those people that, you know, you can pay much less for a flat screen television.
Now, I asked one economist as part of this series, you know, what causes inflation? And his answer was stark. It was simple. He said the money supply. More money floating around, more inflation. Now, that is the traditional way to look at it. But I wanted to ask you, what do you think? Is it as simple as that?
It's not directly connected to the money supply, and we've seen that very clearly since the Great Recession began, because the Federal Reserve has been doing whatever they can to try and boost the economy, pump trillions of dollars into the banking system, and produce zero by way of inflation. What I would say is that you get inflation when you get too much demand given the economy's productive capacity. But in general, inflation just has not been an issue in really the last 30 to 35 years, primarily because the economy generally has had some slack.
Dean Baker, co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
As part of this Marketplace Inflation Calculator series, we check how the price of the most popular car in America changed in the last 25 years. The car is a lot fancier now, but its price is weirdly the same. Amazingly, so is the cost of driving it. If you missed it on the air, you can find it at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.